Welcome to Come Receive the Light, the national radio ministry of the Orthodox Christian Church. During today's program, we're going to get some very keen insights into prayer.
If we believe really that the gospel said that seek first the kingdom of God and don't worry about the other things, they will come. So we will not pray only when we need something.
And we'll hear a fascinating conversation about the Theotokos.
I certainly don't want to elevate a believer higher than they should be, but at the same time, I don't want to make the opposite mistake of not properly venerating a person who has Christ living inside of them, whether it be Mary or you.
All this and more are scheduled on today's edition of Come Receive the Light as we present insight, information, and inspiration from a decidedly Orthodox Christian perspective. And now from our studios in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, here's our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos, and our co-host, Emmy Louvaris.
Father, people talk about reconnecting with God. Why exactly do we need to?
Well, people are talking about reconnecting, and actually they're talking about prayer. They're speaking about a communication with God, which is very important today. And our special guest, Father Roman Braga, is going to speak about an effective prayer life, reestablishing the communication between us and God that was lost from the time of Adam and Eve. He is an incredible individual who spent 10 years in the Gulag, three of which were spent in solitary confinement. He's going to give us insight into prayer I think that people have never heard before.
Well, if that doesn't motivate you to stay tuned, I don't know what will. And we'll have that conversation coming up in just a few minutes on today's edition of Come Receive the Light.
The church has said Mother of God is a proper way to talk about the Virgin Mary because she gives birth to God in the flesh. God takes his flesh from the Virgin Mary. It didn't just kind of appear. She's not wombs or us, for heaven's sake.
You know, quite a few calls and letters come into this ministry every week, and oftentimes there are questions involved with those contacts, and some of those questions ask about the Orthodox Christian Church and its theology surrounding the Virgin Mary. Well, Chuck Powell, the Director of Development for Come Receive the Light, and Spiro Bobotis, the producer for this broadcast, went into the studio last week and spoke about that subject.
The term Theotokos, especially in the Orthodox Church, that's a big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a deep theology in just the mere fact of calling her Theotokos.
When I confess Mary as Theotokos, Theotokos from two Greek words, Theo, God, Tokos, bearer, the God-bearer.
And it's a far cry from what in the early heresies of the church or the discussions where they were calling her Christotokos.
Yeah, Nestorius in the 5th century, at the Council of Chalcedon in 451, wanted to say, well, no, let's call her Christotokos, the Christ-bearer. And the church said, no, that is not the point. The point isn't to exalt Mary to some kind of fourth person of the Trinity, for heaven's sake, but to protect the identity of Jesus from his moment of conception as God in the flesh.
Many people think that we're trying to elevate Mary to something that she's not.
No more than I would try to elevate any believer in Jesus Christ higher than what they should be. But at the same time, Spiro, we shouldn't denigrate a believer in Jesus Christ because we were created, what the scripture says, a little lower than the angels, to be the companions of God himself. And the fact is, I mean, how many times have we heard that Christians have Christ living inside of them? So I certainly don't want to elevate a believer higher than they should be, but at the same time, I don't want to make the opposite mistake of not properly venerating a person who has Christ living inside of them, whether it be Mary or you.
It's not a matter of, as you say, elevating her to somewhere where she's not supposed to be.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it is through her that the Savior has come and incarnated onto this earth as one of us for salvation.
God gets into his creation through the Virgin Mary. I mean, that's just what is. And Jesus doesn't become adopted as the Son of God later on sometime at his baptism or at his birth or whatever when he does good stuff. Jesus is God in the flesh from the moment the Theotokos, Mary, the Virgin Mary, said yes to the angel Gabriel and Christ came to live inside of her. And he's God from that moment in flesh. And he takes his flesh from her. Mary is our sister, in also in the sense that we're called to be like her.
Absolutely.
I want you to think about this. She has a visitor, a messenger from God, who tells her good news. She says yes to that good news, and Christ comes and lives inside of her. And us, we have messengers who come to us, preachers and teachers, and we, it dawns on us, we need to have God living inside of us as well. We say yes, and God takes up his abode in us. It's interesting, Spiro, people have a problem with the term Theotokos, or Mother of God, because they misunderstand the whole purpose of that term. They try to think that we're trying to set Mary up higher than what she is, and that's certainly not it at all. The church has said Mother of God is a proper way to talk about the Virgin Mary because she gives birth to God in the flesh. God takes his flesh from the Virgin Mary. It didn't just kind of appear. She's not wombs or us, for heaven's sake.
And as a side note, when you do look at any icons mm-hmm. of the Virgin Mary, it is with child.
Exactly.
There's only there are exceptions. The Annunciation, for instance, mm-hmm. when Gabriel came to tell Mary that she would be with child.
Right.
Should she accept?
Exactly.
She accepted.
Yes.
Mary is there with Gabriel, but the Holy Spirit is descending upon her.
Exactly.
But every other icon that you see uh-huh. is with Christ.
And because it's Christ that defines and identifies Mary, just like it's Christ that defines and identifies you and me as believers in Jesus Christ. So it's extremely important that we keep this going. One of the final things, and a lot of folks want to say, well, where is it in the Bible? Where is it in the Bible? Well, I want you to notice what Elizabeth says to Mary when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth when she's just found out that she's pregnant. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 41, we'll start there. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, Elizabeth, being a good Jewish lady, knew exactly what she was saying when she said, "The mother of my Lord." You could almost translate that, "the mother of God." Elizabeth was referring to God, the God of Israel, when she said, how has it been granted to me that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me? And then, of course, Mary later on gives her wonderful hymn called the Magnificat, where she says, henceforth now, every generation will call me blessed. And that is extremely important for us to hold on to. Why is this important for us to learn to venerate the mother of God, to call Mary Theotokos? Number one, because we are protecting the identity of Jesus Christ. He's not just some regular fella coming into the earth. And number two, it also testifies to us who we are called to be too, because we are called to be, like Mary, people who give birth to Christ into our world as well.
You know, if you'd like to hear this conversation between Chuck and Spiro again, you can go to our website at receive.org and review it. We have the broadcast there on the website, or you can order a CD copy of our program. Each program, as a matter of fact, simply by getting in touch with us, either by phone or going through the website. Again, that website address is receive.org, and our phone number is toll-free, 1-877, the number 2, and then the word receive. And of course, we're available Monday through Friday during normal business hours. The number again, 1-877, the number 2, and then the word receive. On the website, you'll find all kinds of links that will take you to websites that will help to answer any other questions you might have about the Orthodox Christian faith.
Prayer saved us mm-hmm. there. You know, that was our salvation, because we never believe that we will go out of that communist imprisonment, because they took persons, and those persons just disappeared, you know. So the prayer saved us.
Well, it's time for our feature interview this week, and here again is our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos, and co-host, Emmy Louvaris.
And today we're speaking with Father Roman Braga about an effective prayer life. So, Father, let's just begin with, why is it important to pray?
I think the importance of prayer is to reestablish the connection, the unity between God and man that was in paradise. The original sin, the essence of the original sin is our separation from God. Adam didn't want to work with God as he worked before. We have in the book of Genesis that God and man were collaborating and working together. But Adam, that is the sin, said, I can work without God. And we still are continue working without God. And that is why we are so unhappy and sad. And we have to reestablish that connection between man and God, because prayer is a communication. A communication between man and God. It's very important. Man never will be happy until he reestablished that permanent, second by second, collaboration between man and God. We are always in the presence of God, and God is waiting for us to say something to him, to talk with him.
I was going to ask you, why should I make it a part of my daily routine? But you said it right there. Man will never be happy. And how about the benefits, then, of prayer, Father?
Well, the main thing is that we are always in the presence of God, and that is enough happiness for us. There is no moment in which the presence of God is not, even if we don't feel it. Man's life is a liturgy. Everything that man does is like in the Holy Liturgy. He is responsible for every act and word that comes from his mouth. There is no gratuitous gesture in the life of man without being like in a liturgy. And we don't have to consider benefit only that God gives us something material or makes us to be comfortable. These are not benefit, because Jesus never said that we'll be comfortable. Jesus said, take your cross and follow me. But the benefit is that being always with him, as Jesus said, remain in me and I in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you don't remain in me, you will get dry. I think that is enough benefit in our life. But the definition of prayer is to feel the presence of God in your life. And that is enough benefit, and that is the goal of every man and woman in this world, to go back to that situation in paradise, to feel the presence of God in their life. And they, even they don't say any word, they are in a state of prayer and they are happy. Prayer is life, exactly like life is a holy liturgy.
Father, recently there have been quite a few books. There's the Da Vinci Code that's out there. There are some other movies that have been out. There's some specials, Why Two Marys, that was done by CNN. It seems that people are trying to bring God down to a level that they can understand him and say, well, he really is one of us. But they are not understanding that he's one of us in a very different way. And it's almost like the young kids have a song out there. It said, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us? And I wonder if you could speak to a bit of the divinity and maybe the loss of what people see as a sacredness in God. Maybe that's why they're not praying as much as they should be.
Well, because we lost that feeling of sacredness. And sure, we don't pray too much, but we take the prayer legalistic. We think that we have to pray just three times a day. That because we lost that permanent connection between God and man. We don't have to take prayer in a formalistic way. We pray all the time, all the time. Even in the family, for example, the women do cooking, and given the act of love between husband and wife is included in that liturgy of life. If we have the feeling of the prayer, of the presence of God in our life. There was a Holy Father that said, if you pray only when you pray, you don't pray at all.
I like that personally. I've never heard of it before, and I think that a lot of people will find insight in that prayer is not necessarily that formal prayer that we have in our minds.
No, because, you know, we cannot always finish our prayers, and we remain frustrated. We say, well, I didn't have time to make my morning prayer today. No, if you have the feeling of God, that you are always in the presence of God, you don't have to be immediately connected to this formalistic prayer, how many hours you pray, when you pray. If the telephone rings, that means that God will send you a person in your life during your prayer, and your prayer is finished, even if you don't finish it. So we have to take prayer in its essence, not just like a timetable. No, it's very good to keep this discipline of prayer three times a day, or like in church, seven lauds, seven times, first hour, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour. This discipline is very good, but not to lose the fact that in between we are still in prayer.
Give us some insight with your experience, Father, about the power of prayer. You've had a full life. You were in Russia. You were in the gulag. Am I right?
Well, that the prayer saved us there. That was our salvation, because we never believed that we will go out of that communist imprisonment, because they took persons, and those persons just disappeared, you know. The prayer saved us. We're not allowed, especially in solitary confinement, we're not allowed to go out to see what is happening outside, even in within the walls of the prison there. And you had to go somewhere. And we went down on a vertical plane in ourselves, and we discovered that God is in our heart. As St. Paul said, you are the temple of the living God, because God lives within you. Was created that intimacy between man and God in prison. That saved us.
How long were you in there, Father?
Well, I was 11 years in prison, but 3 years I was in solitary confinement.
Oh,
imagine.
My goodness. Oh,
and in solitary confinement, I found myself. They put us there without books, without pencil, without... because especially the priest, in their conception, should become like beasts, you know, but didn't happen. We found God there, the real God, because when you are free, God is the God of the books, the God of the Bible. You read about God, you learn about God, but there, the real God is in ourselves. And we found the method of descending into the depth of our heart, as St. Paul said, because their personality or soul is infinite, like an atom. In that depth is the presence of God in us.
Father, many of us seem to turn to prayer when we're in times of trouble, in times of strife. And I wonder how we talk about this almost every Sunday in church, how usually for the Christmas season or the Paschal season that churches are jammed. And then in the course of the year, kind of the attendance goes down. And if there's a 9/11, the church is filled and there are candles lining in front of the iconostasion. How do we change and infuse in our daily life a prayer rather than waiting till times of difficulty?
We should pray not only when we need something, because prayer is not a give me prayer. It's not. We should pray in the context of the church. You reminded here about church. We go there because the Eucharist is in church there. When we pray in church, we pray as a church. It's different than praying as individuals. And if we believe really that the gospel said that seek first the kingdom of God and don't worry about the other things, they will come. So we will not pray only when we need something. So unfortunately, it is right what you said, that we pray only in times of strife. I think it's a lack of education. If we really know who we are and we preach about prayer that is not just a moment. Prayer is a state of spirit, and we have to gain to realize in ourselves that state of spirit in which we feel always the presence of God.
Can you construct for us a prayer? Someone who has not prayed, or maybe is afraid to pray, they don't know how to pray. How do you, in your own words, put together a prayer? I mean, how do you begin? What do you have in the middle? What do you have in the end? How do you do that? I mean, obviously, you've done a lot of it in 10 years.
Sure, it is hard to start.
Yes. How do you do that?
But once you start and you start talking with God, I recommend very much not only the prayer book. The prayer book is very good to warm you up in prayer. But those prayers in the prayer book were personal sometimes because they were composed by Holy Fathers. They were individuals who were asking something from God. So to make our own prayers, if we use our plain words, very simple, to say, Lord, look at me. You have created me. When you created me, you had a plan with me. I want to understand your plan. You are the driving the car. Lord, I know that you are in the front seat here. Tell me something, Lord. And the short phrases, the dialogue like this creates in you that intimacy that becomes permanent between you and God. To start with your plain words, as the children pray, they pray very, thank you, Lord, for mom and dad. Thank you, Lord, for the sunny days. I think we should start in a childish way to talk with God. And sure, later that prayer will become, the feeling of the presence of God will be complete. I especially advise the young people because they have a lot of foolishness in their head there and a lot of images, dirty images, and everything that they have in their heads to direct to God like in a prayer. Because prayer is a communication. Lord, I'm hungry. I will make a sandwich for me, or I'm going shopping because my wife wants to buy something. And why not to say that? Because we have in our head these practical things, and they become a prayer. When you discover in your head something that you are ashamed to direct to God in a prayer, that is from the other guy, from the devil. So, and out with it. Well, we should start in a childish way, and you will see that we get so much love to pray, to talk with God, to have a permanent dialogue. I speak that by myself. I don't use all the time the prayer books. But this dialogue is in the perfect prayer of the Psalms. All the Psalms are a dialogue between David and God. Why, Lord, did you turn your face from me? Look at my enemies and so make your own sounds.
Thank you, Father. Thank you so much.
Oh, God bless you.
As you did last time, you've inspired us and given us some great information. Father Braga brought so many insightful details about prayer to our program today. I think that one of the most important statements that he made for me, that when he said it, I had one of those moments, was that although prayer and the discipline of prayer is very important in our lives, that those in-between stages, that, you know, that prayer is the presence of God in your life.
It is the presence of God in our life. And also the interesting thing is that God is always there, but we have to initiate the reconnection. And Father Roman made a very profound statement. He said, man will never be happy until they make that reconnection. He spoke about making your own psalm. That was beautiful. The fact that David, in his psalms, that he speaks to God. That's how we're supposed to do it. Yes, we do pray in the church, in the corporate prayer, in the liturgy, which is really a life. But we have to reconnect with God on a regular basis, driving in the car, sitting, lying in bed before you go to sleep at night. You can talk with God. That's the beauty of it. You can talk with him at any time you want. And I'll tell you why, Emmy. I use the words from St. Paul. St. Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now, if Paul himself had problems with things in life, what do we think we're going to have?
Sure.
And we will always have an emptiness of the heart. There will never be true fulfillment in anyone unless they reconnect with God and make their own psalm with Him.
Come Receive the Light is produced by the Orthodox Christian Network and is sponsored in part by the Orthodox Christian Church in your neighborhood and Dordas Financial at dordas.com. We would appreciate hearing from you and getting your feedback regarding this broadcast. You can get in touch either through our website at receive.org or give us a call at 1-877-2-RECEIVE. And please remember to pray for this ministry. We're a nonprofit outreach supported in part by gifts from listeners just like yourself. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.